For 25 years, Mike's has been making lemonade the hard way. Mike's Hard Lemonade. Hard days deserve a hard lemonade. Mike's is hard, so is prison. Don't drive drunk. Premium all beverage with flavors. All registered trademarks used under license by Mike's Hard Lemonade Company, Chicago, Illinois.
Went back up there, wiped the shit off of him, and then got back in there and kept throwing passes. I made a point to mention that because that's what I did see, because he was being chased. He got knocked down. He stood in there and made passes. That's why I give him credit for being a smart-ass a tough-ass quarterback. So, yeah, I did. Red Swamp says, Q, I want you to know that as a Falcons fan, I admire your respect and professionalism and smoothness with which you host your show. I'm a Kappa man, and smoothness is essential to me. Thank you, Red Swamp. Appreciate you, fam, for being here. Much love. And, yeah, we got quite a few of the Falcon fans, man. Thank you for the compliment. I just talked about Atlanta, man, about the Michael Penix thing and the Kirk Cousins thing. Fam, we know what time this Kirk Cousins thing is. Y'all spent 180. Y'all spent $1.80. We spent $1.50. And the situations are similar so far as both teams are littered and loaded with talent. And the problem with Atlanta for a long time was the rocky quarterback play. Like, they thought the Riddler would be the guy. They had Tyler Heinicke coming in there, hoping he could do some stuff. And it just never materialized. But Kirk Cousins, the one thing I know about Kirk Cousins, that he's a cerebral quarterback. He's a guy that if he's healthy, he's a problem. And I know that because when Kirk Cousins played for the Minnesota Vikings gave the Saints problems. We could not, you know, in the playoffs, they gave us problems. And then with Kirk Cousins at the quarterback, he had a lot of success against the Saints with the Vikings. You know, so it was we are very familiar with Kirk Cousins, but coming off a major injury, that's why I said I'm not that upset with them for taking Michael Penix there, because I watched a lot of Michael Penix games and Michael Penix could play the curb. And I'm saying, like, when they took some of these other quarterbacks when we was doing the live streams, and it's like you like who you have your picks and chooses. But some of these guys are not ready to play. I'm going to just be honest with you. Michael Penix is a guy that played a lot of football. He you know, the knock on him, a lot of people were saying, is the injury history, because he had a bunch of injuries that he had to shake back from to going, you know, to play football. But he was able to do that. He's accurate. He moves around a lot. He processes the game fast. And he's ahead of some of these other guys that they drafted in the first round. He is. A guy like Bo Nix and guys like that are rare, because Bo Nix played a ton of games in college. If you are a head coach coming out and you're drafting a guy like Sean Payton, that was the perfect pick for Sean Payton to get Bo Nix. The perfect pick, because Nix has a ton of college games that he's played in. He's smart. He's accurate. And he don't have a big arm. But he knows football. He processes things well. And if there was a rookie quarterback that Sean Payton would need to get, it would be a guy that had that much college experience. He played a ton of college games. So, you know, that's what I'm saying. That helps out in the maturation process. Like, some of these other guys, they're not as ready as a Michael Penix in my book. They're looking at ceilings. When they talk about all these quarterbacks, they can't necessarily go stat for stat with a guy like Penix, you know what I'm saying? They would then start talking about ceilings and potential. He potentially could be this, that, and the third. He's 6'3", 230 pounds. He could throw the ball 40 yards down the field. But, you know, all that kind of stuff, but he only got 20-something touchdowns, you know, against this amount of interceptions. He played this couple of years, and this is what he – and then you look at the game, this kid ain't ready to play. You might have to sit him down and play another guy for half a year or whatever, and then kind of work him in to get him going on. Penix is a guy that played a lot of games. He processed the game different. He was a lot readier than some of these other guys, in my opinion. I was saying it through the show. They were talking about Michael Penix going all the way down to the second round and all. I was like, man, he bet not drop that far. You know, it's because all quarterbacks are different. Most quarterbacks and people, let's just talk, not just quarterbacks, but players differently process the game faster. You got people out there that's just naturals, you know, and some of them that got to work at it. Some people got to work at it. Some people are just naturals. That's just how it is. You know, I didn't create the factory. Nature did. Some people are, they, you know, as children, some people are walking faster than other people. You see what I'm saying? The babies come out. Some babies start crawling fast. The next thing you know, they walking faster. Some of them, you know, it just is just different. Everybody's processes are different. People's concepts and being able to pick up things are faster than other people's. It's just what it is. So that applies in football too. And when you see a Penix play, you see a Bo Nix play, you see a Jaden Daniels play, you see a Kyler Williams play, you can look at these guys and say, yeah, these guys, they could play it. They'll be able to wing it at the next level because they have the attributes needed to be successful. You just have to put the right scheme with them and protect them and put the weapons around them so they can be successful. So, you know, that's how I look at it anyway. But anyway. All right. Thank you. Appreciate you, bro. All right. All right. Big ups. What's up, GM Kev in the building as well. All right. Saints for Life says, according to Spencer, Sean Payton made him study his playbook before he had to visit with Denver and tested him. He was able to nail the test. Well, that, yeah, I know about Spencer. I speak about Spencer's. He does have a good IQ there. Swarm says, Q, I was thinking the same thing. Bo Nix is perfect for Payton and what he wants to do. Yeah, it's Sean Payton, bro. We know Sean Payton for years. Sean Payton never took a quarterback and turned him into anything. And now his job is dependent on him taking Nix and turning him into something. He just has to make sure he has the line and a running attack, which Sean Payton could do. Sean Payton will make sure you have a strong offensive line and a good running attack. He will give you that, you know, and making sure you put weapons. So like last year, building up the team, getting rid of people that don't fit his style and system, but he's going to build that line. He's going to build that offensive line up so he can run the ball. And if you have a quarterback that's accurate enough to do it, that was a perfect pick. Bo Nix was a perfect pick for Coach Payton. I got to give him a shot on that, man. All right. Saints for Life says Penix has big arm and Smart has all the tools to be successful. I was saying that, bro. Like, and I know people are tearing him down because a lot of people didn't see Spencer at number. They didn't see not Spencer. They didn't see Penix at number 8, but don't say shit about Drake May at 3 or whatever it was. Like, this guy is not or JJ McCarthy, you know, at where he went. I'm like, these guys are good young quarterbacks, but they're not ready to play. They say, those guys are two years or something younger than him. What does it matter if he could play? What does it matter? And like I said, if you got an older guy like that and he's coming off a major injury, man, I would rather have a quarterback that I drafted, I believe in, behind an older quarterback in case that guy gets hurt, than you sitting there, you spend all this money, the guy gets hurt, and you like sit standing up there like, what the hell? You looking like the Jets did last year. The Jets had no backup plan. So the guy mentions, if you're thinking about the Packers plan, he's 24 years of age. No, I'm thinking about the goddamn Jets plan. What's the Jets plan? The Jets plan, they picked up Aaron Rodgers, and then when Aaron got hurt the first game, they had to go to Zach Wilson. That's the lad that played the year before the year plan. That's the plan I don't want to follow. All right, anyway, man, you know how it go. All right, any questions, throw them in the chat, fam. Jason Five, what's up, bro? Said we should try to get something for Haener. You thinking about trading Jake Haener? I don't think we should trade Jake Haener. Let's let them fight it out and see who wins, bro. That's what it comes down to. Let's see what we can let's see if we can fight them out. All right, Saints for Life says the video HC head coach and OC that gets you better ideas about Spencer New Orleans. Okay. All right, shout out to them, man. All right, Backwoods says, are we going to see if Spencer got that rattler in him? Yeah, that rattlesnake in him. We'll see. All right, KT says Ram has a degenerative knee issue. Indeed, man. Yeah, and that's been bugging him for a long time, man. The Saints really hid that key from us because we didn't realize, because they ain't tell you how bad it was until last year. Like, you'd start realizing. I say, I knew there was rumors about him. And the question I was asking, like, man, he been dealing with that knee issue. It happened, you know, right after he, not right directly after, but a little bit after he signed that contract and he got hurt. And all, ever since he got that big contract for the Saints, been battling that injury. And it, and he hadn't taken the time to properly get it taken care of. It's career threatening. There is no way you need to be getting minor surgery on a career threatening knee issue. You need major surgery to get that together. And if you can't play football again, you know, it's just what it is. Least you can be able to walk. I would, you know, it, what's the give and get right here? If you want to put it on a scale, would you rather want to walk right? Or you just want to, you know, what's more important here? You know, your body or playing a game. I mean, it's up to him to make that decision. Jason Files, if he retires, we'll have cap hit to get solid tackle. The new OC can find. Swarm says, talking about Pro Bowl potential, Penix has all the Pro Bowl potential. PFF gives Rattler a 76.6 overall grade. They give Penix an elite grade of 91.1. Yeah, no, he is. That's what I'm saying about the only knock they got is they talk about his age and his injury history. But they don't. They always deflect away from his statistics. You can't say that he came from a small school. And that's why I said I watched Penix play. I watched him play. He could play. Like I said, that could be a problem for the Saints in the future, man. He's going to be a problem for the Saints in the future because they're going to protect him. He has a rushing attack and he'll have weapons all the way around him. Trust and believe, fam. Them people headed in the right direction. I don't know where we going. But they're headed in the right direction. Jace Fobbs, can you look up Purdy's grade coming? Oh, he's asking the Swarm. KT says, Q, have you checked out the receiver from Idaho, Jermaine Jackson, Deontay Hardy 2.0? Yeah, I was reading some stuff. I hadn't seen his footage yet, but I'm going to get into it. KT. Spicy Rice says, Carr leads the league in fourth quarter, comes back despite having no number one receiver or defense. Let's hope we can continue that trend. Saints for Life said, according to Spencer. Oh, yeah, I read this one before. Yeah. All right. And Swarm says people underestimate Bo Nix. Yeah, I got it. Joe Dog says Bo Nix and Michael Penix. All right. Russell says Peyton is a quitter. He made Breeze made him. Yeah, it's crazy because it was people, you know, and I say this all the time because I'm a sane historian. And I don't romanticize history. And I say this before, it's like when Drew came here, Drew really didn't want to come to New Orleans. He wanted to go to Miami. And Nick Saban was the coach for 1 year. He was the coach and general manager for Miami. He did that right after he left from LSU. He took the Miami job. He did that for 1 year, went 8-8. Then he went to Alabama. He was the head coach and general manager. That was the deal that he made with them. Just had a decision to make between Drew Brees and Dante Culpepper, and he chose Dante Culpepper. The loser of whatever the person who they didn't want, we got. So if they would have selected Drew, we would have got Culpepper, you know, and vice versa. And that's how it happened. So that's because Drew didn't want to come to New Orleans, man. New Orleans was decimated by the storm. He was looking to go to a place like Miami. That's where he wanted to go. Nobody wanted to come down here because we was coming off of losing, stuff like that. Sean Payton took the job, and Sean wasn't who Tom Benson wanted. Tom Benson was trying to get Gary Kubiak as the coach. He wanted Gary Kubiak. But Gary Kubiak wanted to be the New Orleans Saints coach, but he wanted Tom Benson to match the contract that the Texans gave him because the Texans wanted him. And he said, listen, he brung the contract. He brung his offer to Tom Benson and said, could you match this? If you match this, we good. Tom Benson said, no, I'm not matching that. I'm going to go with Peyton. That's how it played. So it is weird. Then you get them together and then they work together for many years. Drew knows the system so well that he basically runs it on the field, him and Sean Payton or what that and the third. And Mickey Loomis also is in the mix because Sean Payton is telling Mickey Loomis what to do. Mickey, I need this. I need that. I need this. I need that. And Mickey went and made groceries. Whatever a grocery list he gave him, he went and made groceries for him. So it's kind of weird how all that works. And it worked out, man. And they kind of made each other, man. And you can see how Mickey Loomis is kind of lost without Sean Payton's guidance, man. All right, Hemisphere says Payton ran Drew Brees to the ground. That's true, he did. Sean didn't want to invest time in developing the QB to take Drew's place, knowing Drew needed to retire. That's true, and they didn't really have a backup plan either. They did bring in guys like Teddy Bridgewater and promised him that he'll be the future quarterback, and then he'll end up telling somebody else that he did that like 2 or 3 years in a row where he was just playing all these little weird games. He told Teddy Bridgewater, said that. He said that's why he signed to come back with the Saints, because he said that Sean Payton told him he was going to be the future quarterback of the Saints, and he came back. And then when he tried to circle back to him again for a third time, he told him, no, that's how he ended up going to Florida, going out there, because he didn't believe him. I covered this all on the show. They were sitting up there lying to these guys, telling them one thing. You can't be lying to these people. You got to keep it real and tell the truth. But he was lying to them. But yeah, I don't play favorites, bro. I tell the truth. James, what's up, brother? James says, Q, I'm with you. I'm not understanding the bad grace of Penix. It's masterful, in my opinion. That's how you properly transition to today's NFL at the QB. Lions, Steelers, Jags, Falcons. We all have good QB rooms. Indeed, bro. That's how I see it, man. Brother Pat Rich says, Saints are set. We just need that party locker room. Agent Denise is just too tight. I guess he says you don't need the party room. You mean like the Club Saint? We don't need all that. They're going to keep that forever, brother. Japanese Hercules said, do the Saints have any plans to shift Alante Taylor to safety, or are they going to continue to use him at corner? My understanding is they're going to keep him at the corner position. I mentioned this. I talked about this exact same point just yesterday's show. It was either yesterday or Saturday's show. I talked about this same point, that when the Saints drafted Alante Taylor, they drafted him the same year when Chauncey Gardner Johnson's contract was coming up. Him and Chauncey's contract and Eric McCoy's contract was up at the same time. And Chauncey Gardner Johnson didn't want to come to practice. He was trying to negotiate a contract. He was missing out on practice. And while that was going on, Alante Taylor was in there practicing, getting his game together. Then Chauncey started to come back and play, but he wouldn't practice full practice sessions. He would just practice the half of the session and then go. Then Alante Taylor would step in. So they was trying to negotiate his contract, and he put up a big stink about wanting multi-year deals and all that. And the Saints was willing to give him a multi-year contract, but he wanted to be the top paid nickel back in the game. And at this time, Chauncey Gardner Johnson was fantastic at the spot. He was a little doing too much talking and all that. But outside of that, he was a pretty solid nickel back for us. And you had Alante Taylor. People was asking him what role would Alante Taylor. They were looking at Alante as a cornerback slash safety prospect that they can use as a safety. But the moment, you know, when it all went away and Chauncey, you know, wanted to be traded, and Dennis Allen basically traded him for nothing, that's when they decided to keep Alante at the cornerback position. You know, so, you know, I think the safety idea went away. I think that's pretty much gone right now. But eventually, like, you got Kool-Aid McKinstry here. I don't think that means Alante goes to safety. I think he's just what he is here for, just to be a future cornerback that steps in. If somebody we can't afford him, then I go Kool-Aid McKinstry, because his contract is coming up in 2025. Paulson Adebo's is, and the Saints are currently cash strapped. So will they be able to fork over some nice dough to pay Paulson Adebo? Plus his injury, the injury situation that happens all the time to our cornerbacks, our top three cornerbacks, McKinstry provides a reserve value for there as well. So it's just an insurance, no matter how, in both directions, you know. Sam says, I would take Penix as the number three QB from the draft. I like the second round grade due to his injury history, but he's definitely the third best talent and ability. Absolutely. You can't get away from that. That's what I was saying. Yeah, they can only put a knock on his injury history and his age, but you look at everything else. Look at his production. Look at his leadership. Look at his accuracy. Look at how many games he played on the big stage. He took Washington to another level, man. Took him to another level. Look at all them talented wide receivers coming out of there that he was thrown to. You know, he put them on the map up there, man. They had a really good team up there, and he was leading them doing some good stuff. And he, like I said, he beat, like, Bo Nix was ahead of him. They had Bo Nix ahead of Michael Penix during the season. And then when they played head to head, Bo and Penix showed you what time it was. He beat Bo Nix head to head. And that dropped Bo Nix down. But see, that's what I was saying, man. He was the guy, man. He was the guy. I think he's more QB NFL ready than Drake May. He's more QB ready than McCarthy. You know, it's just what it is, you know. Saints for Life says Ramchek won't be able to move like he's supposed to in a new offense. Yeah, that knee's a problem. Joe says if we could take in a QB from the draft, it would be Jaden Daniels. I'm kind of worried he went to the Commanders. Yes, indeed. Survivor says Peyton needs a veteran QB. Hopefully Nick's a cerebral enough for Sean Payton. The nuances in his scheme. All right, yes. All right. Yeah, Alante Taylor is pretty good, man. He had some rough bumps last year, but you know how it is. I think it was his second year, wasn't it? So it'd be his third year. Katie says, Q outside of Tipton, who's your favorite undrafted free agent? I actually like Kabote, man, the running back that they picked up, the little undrafted running back they picked up. Go watch some film on Kabote, man. Go watch some film on him. Watch some film on his pretty good little running back there. Brother James says we need to follow that map at the QB who put heat on Carr. CQ, you peeped how Carr manipulated his other backups besides Rattler. Carr told them to get Hayner, and he called Peterman as backup. Yeah, I've said that, bro. Yeah, I said that. Derek Carr has been doing that, man. I said that. I pinpointed that. I said Derek Carr, they built a very comfortable QB room for Derek Carr. Very comfortable. That's why I'm counting on Clint Kubiak to come here and don't coddle Carr. And I think it shouldn't be about Derek Carr. It really shouldn't be. It should be about the Saints running the football. That's going to get us some W's. Now, every now and again, one or two games, you'll see Derek Carr. He might go off. But really, it shouldn't be about Derek Carr. It should be about the Saints running the ball and taking a pressure off Carr. He operates off the play action. That's it. I mean, because you're going to need to win. You got to hold. This is a complicated system this guy is trying to bring up in here. He's talking about teaching it to him in phases. Like we building the Superdome, or we renovating the Superdome in phases. Well, phase number one, we gonna paint the walls. Phase number two, we gonna tear out these old ass stairs. Phase number three, we gonna put holes in the roof, and we gonna put lights up there. No lights. We gonna put sunroofs up there. It's gonna look brilliant. It's phase number four. It's going to be about the business of putting carpet down, baby. It's going to be like an airport. It's going to be lounges here. And of course, every lounge is going to have a concession stand. And every concession stand going to have $20 nachos, $18 beers. I can see it. We'll make a fortune. We'll make a bloody fortune. And that's what they did. That's pretty much how it goes. That's how they did it. And no, before you ask, no, Reverend Saint had nothing to do with it. But listen, that's what I'm saying, man. Yeah, he did. It's a very comfortable situation for Derek Carr, no doubt. He has Nate Peterman, which is his backup quarterback from the Raiders. Jake Hayner is a guy that he handpicked to be his backup. And he said as much as like, when I'm finished playing, Jake Hayner could be the guy. Well, he didn't want any competition. And the only competition the Saints had in challenging him was Jameis Winston. And Jameis Winston is a Brown now. Now, Clint Kubiak did get Spencer Rattler here, but this would be a stretch of the imagination to say Spencer Rattler would challenge Derek Carr in any capacity. It's a very safe room for Carr. That's why I'm not counting on Derek Carr in that capacity. I'm looking at the Saints learning to run the football. That's what I'm looking at. Running the football and him operating off the play action because of this complicated system. They got to have to learn it, you know? So shout out to you, Brother James. Thank you. All right. Metro says, can we get to see Kubiak? It says what Kubiak is going to do with the dual threat running game and Kamara and Williams. I like the way he motions receivers across the field. Yeah. It's a very fun system. It is. Watching the 49ers system, it is very lively. It's a lot of motioning going on, even double motions, you know, guys shifting to the left, running left, then guys back to the right. the defense don't know what's going on. And then the ball is snapped. They shift the guards are pulling to the right, blocking guys on the angle, freeing up the running back so they can get to the second and third levels. It's going to be beautiful. Hopefully he has the personnel to be able to implement this, but I applaud him saying that we need an identity and we need to run the ball. That's what he's, and I'm with that. I've been saying that. Brother Ryan says, why we ain't talking about Dalen Hulker making a team? No, I think if he's healthy, he should make the team, bro. He should make the team. I said it when we was talking about it. We talked about the undrafted list of 15 undrafted college free agents that we had. I did that early in the stream. You might want to go back to it. But I talked about Hulker. He got the size. He had the catching ability. He's mobile enough. His questions about his blocking. But I think I was looking at the tape. I think he's a pretty normal blocker. But I also think he can create mismatches for your offense. I think he would be able to climb as far as the third spot in the tight end group, you know, and see, that's the thing about undrafted guys, like especially at the tight end and safety level, there's a lane for you. If you own game, there's a lane for you to take for the safety and for the tight end. Cause we looking for that guy. Cause that's who we got sitting on top of the tight end group right now. It was a guy that was a back of the wide receiver room several years ago. Two or three years later, he your best tight end. People forget Juwan Johnson started off as a wide receiver for the Saints. He was at the back of the wide receiver room, the back bottom of the chart. They switched his position, and next thing you know, he's the best tight end. He went past Troutman. He went past Vanette, garbage-ass Vanette. He went past all of them, and he the tight end, got paid and everything. So that should be an incentive for a guy like Hulker to be able to step his game up and get there. So, yeah, I definitely think he can climb. James says, Q, Becton signed with the Eagles. Yeah, we talked about that, bro. The Saints simply, they got a lot of Saints. They don't have a lot of money, bro. So I don't anticipate them making sign, you know, any, you know, and I don't know how much Becton got signed for, but they're not going to do that, bro. They're going to rely on these, you know, our young offensive linemen. You know, they're going to rely on these rookies and what we have to try to win. That's a lot of pressure, but in the end, it's just what it is. It's just where the team is economically. And we should have known that, bro. Eventually it was going to come to this. Sam says 100%. We can't rely on Carr being the main thing on offense. He's got all the talent you need at QB, but he does have the killer instinct needed to be the main piece of the puzzle. He does have the gambler nature because he's a deep ball thrower. Carr, we can't, you know, we remember to always look at players' nature. They're going to always go back to the nature. You can coach them up as best you can, but remember the nature of the person that is the player. Remember their nature because they're going to always default back to that. Remember that when you're thinking about these people. And Derek Carr is a deep ball thrower. He's a gunslinger. That's what he is. He's a gunslinger. He loves to throw the ball down the field. That's what he does. And when his arm is right and his mind is right, he can really do that. He's a one-hitter quitter type of dude. Put that ball out there, let Chris Olave, let Rashid Shaheed run up under it and go to the house. That's what he is. Default. That's what he does. He's a gunslinger. And usually when you're a gunslinger, you get in trouble because you try to put the ball somewhere you don't belong. That's why I said minimize him touching the ball to throw it like that by giving him a running attack. At least if you're running the ball effectively, that's one less defensive player in the secondary that he has to worry about throwing an interception to. You get what I'm saying? That's why I said that's why he looked decent. He looked pretty decent against teams later on in the year, because when the Saints started to run the balls, the safety had to commit up to the line of scrimmage. They had to commit to the running attack. And when he get an opportunity to do that, when that play action started working, he get one-on-one opportunities to just throw the ball out there. And our wide receivers are good enough to beat the one-on-one matchups. But if we running the ball effectively, that safety got to come down there and try to help out and run support. And then you got that chance. You could throw that ball over the top of his head. That's the idea. It's not, you know, it's not a difficult thing to pick up. We just got to learn. We got to run the ball. That's why I said we got to take it out of his hands, you know. All right. 504 says one. He said, wait one goddamn minute, Q. Them nachos were damn good. Oh, hold on now. That was damn. Oh, hold on. Like, hold on. Let me tell you. Wait one damn minute. I was going to tell you that those nachos were damn good. Mickey, you didn't pay for them nachos. Oh, well, of course not. You know, I'm Big Mickey.